Ace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason is here. I, Adam Vingan, I'm here. And joining us is the commissioner of Silly Underdog Picks, which is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, the one and only Willie Donick.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Silly Underdog Picks, pre-Christmas edition. The contest is now 16 weeks old. It is brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. It has been in existence for 31 years, and we are wrapping up another season. But it is not over. There are 2 weeks left in the competition, and it is fierce. We have a change in the standings. It is getting a little bit closer. And so the drama is building. And so let us introduce the contestants. First of all, greetings from Cambridge, New York. This is a new location. You know, I've been all over the globe during the course of the season. I've come at you from Florida. I've come at you from north of the border in Montreal. I've come at you from just about everywhere and every time zone. And now we're coming at you from the Eastern time zone in Cambridge, a very small town outside of Albany, New York. So greetings, people.
Hello, Willie. Good to see you.
Hello, Willie.
Yeah. Just making sure you guys can hear me from Cambridge.
Oh, we're
here.
We can.
I've never done a show from Cambridge
before. Oh, absolutely.
We can hear you.
Loud and clear.
Okay. So we have all the contestants with us. Chris Sanders, Derek Mason, Hal Gill, and of course, Adam Vingan. So let's reveal the results.
What are you laughing at, Chris?
Week 16.
No, he just said and Adam. It's like your afterthought. Yeah, that's right.
You're the afterthought. You're in last place. You're in last place.
When I was in Montreal, I called him the wrong name.
He called me. He did call me Alex that day. Yes, yeah, he did.
That only happens when I'm in Montreal and I'm close. I wanted to make sure I took an extra second.
Yes.
Get it right.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, so going into the week, it was D-Mace with a 45-point total that had the lead. Adam Vingan in second with 33. Hal in third with 27. No, yes, Hal in third with 25. And Chris Sanders with 21.5. So here's how it went. Chris Sanders had the first pick. He normally goes, of course, with the long bomb. He surprised the panel by taking Boise State, just a 9.5-point dog against Washington, in a bowl game that I'm not sure there were enough people to qualify as a crowd. I don't know if you guys saw this. This game was played, in Los Angeles. There was nobody there.
That's terrible. It was
Chris,
bad.
Did you go? Did you watch?
Heck to the no. I didn't even know they was playing until I saw the score. So it was pretty bad.
Well, apparently nobody else in Los Angeles knew was going on either.
Right. It was awful. I'm still mad. So, yep.
Yeah, Washington won easy. That's the long and short of it. So, Chris, no points for you. You stay in the in the cellar. I hate to say it, but, you know, Chris, you're in fourth place of a four-team field.
As long as I give it my all, that's all that matters.
Okay. Well, you know, that's nice. All right, let's now get to the next. Derek Mason had the next pick. He took Memphis, a 6-point dog against NC State.
Man.
And we had a good view loud and clear of this one. Not loud because the sound was off, but we were actually doing our show earlier this week while Memphis was slugging along against NC State. And
we don't have to talk
Derek,
about this
how
one.
How would you describe the play of the Memphis Tigers in this game?
Is that describing it? Is that a good description of it?
It's a good sound effect.
I'm just surprised you didn't throw anything at the TV. There were some wide-open Wolfpack members running up and down the field throughout the afternoon. It wasn't close. You get some crazy bowl games at this time of the year. And so NC State rolled over Memphis, so D-May stays at 45 points. Now we have Hal Gill. He decided, you know, let's go to a playoff game. Let's get a game that means something. This is for the national championship, and why not go big? Howell's 20 points behind. He picked a game that could, in theory, have put him in the top position in this competition. He took the James Madison Dukes, a 21.5-point dog, against Oregon out in Eugene. And you know, we were actually working while the first part of this game was going on. The Predators got a big victory over the Maple Leafs. We gathered at Pete and Terry's to watch to see if the Dukes could pull the upset. And when we got there, what was the score?
It was a lot to a little, but I like my guys. Hey, we didn't give up. Willie, the Dukes did not give up. They fought. They battled to try to get back, and they kept my dreams alive, even though you squashed them at every turn. You're the worst person ever to watch a football game with. The negativity that came out of your mouth sucked. I hated it.
I don't think that's how I recall that. I feel like when we got to Pete and Terry's, the Dukes really started to find their groove.
They did cover.
They did cut that lead
down to
28 really fast. They got it back to 28.
It's a moral victory, fellas, a moral victory, but morals don't get you very far.
Nope. And that is the thing about silly underdog picks. No points for a cover. So Hal stays at 25. Oregon won, as he said, a lot to a little. But JMU did fight and score a bunch of points late to make it look a little bit better. But JMU and Tulane, not a great performance for the committee there. Now we get to Adam Vingan, and he's been waiting all week, all weekend, for this recap because he selected Old Dominion, a team from his backyard where he grew up, near Norfolk, Virginia, a 5.5-point dog against South Florida. And sure enough, Old Dominion, in another game that was going on while we were doing the DVD show,
yes,
Old Dominion pulls the upset and gets 5.5 points. So that creeps Adam up a little bit closer to D-Mace. He's now got 38.5 points.
I'm coming for you, Derek.
Absolutely, within striking distance. Adam, describe the feeling in the Vingan house when you saw the final score for the Monarchs.
I would have never doubted my Monarchs, as you said, in my backyard. Shout out 757. But I'm going big this week. I'm taking the lead against Derek Mason.
Oh, man.
This past week was just an appetizer. You're getting the main course,
oh,
Derek Mason.
Goodness.
It's coming.
Yep.
Boy, I shudder to think what the holidays will be like in the Mason house if he cannot hold on to this lead and he gets passed up by
Willie,
Adam.
I do have a question. I do have a question because you are the historian of silly underdog picks. There was a time during this competition where I was in last place. If I were to win, would this be the greatest worst to first story in the history of silly underdog picks?
Oh man.
No.
Thank you. Thank you, Willie.
All right, we'll see. We'll see.
You weren't that far behind, but it would be a very nice story. It'd be a nice story. Worst to first would be good.
I'll take nice. Nice is fine.
So we're gonna do this again one more time. So you have two picks left. You have the playoff games this weekend, and you have all the bowl games that take place between now and next Monday. Remember, next Monday, we did determine it's Monday, right? We're going to do this before the Music City Bowl and
the next Monday is fine.
Vanderbilt is in. Tennessee's in the bowl game. You got a bunch of bowl games plus the playoff games next week, so you have room for two more picks. So here is the order. Now, D-Mace has the lead, and he happens to have the first pick. Then it'll be Hal, Adam, and then Chris to wrap things up. So let's start the Week 17 picks with D-Mace right now in the lead, but it's a precarious lead, just 6.5 points.
Oh, it's precarious.
Yes! Now cut that damn stuff off. I started to say, damn, you know what? Cut that stuff off and play my theme music. And play my damn theme music, okay? I'm not making... There we go. That's what messed me up last time.
excuses.
Listen, I thought it would be a good thing. Oh, that's what I thought.
All right. I am going straight to the... I just had it. Gosh, where did it go? Here we go. I am going Ole Miss... Over is that this week? Is that before Monday? Ole Miss?
Yes.
Georgia?
Actually, it is?
Is it before Monday? I want to make sure before I pick
that's
it.
That's this weekend, right? The playoff game.
Yes, it's this weekend. I am taking Ole Miss to beat Georgia. What is that, a 10? What is that, a 10-point?
Ole Miss in Georgia is actually...
He's playing in the Sugar Bowl.
Yes. On January 1st.
Oh, I can't pick it. So, yeah, you're right. I can't
pick it. Come on, Derek.
Game's not till January 1st?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, I was like, I thought that game was this weekend.
No, it's not this weekend.
All right. With that being said...
You've been disqualified.
So we have No. So we're skipping the playoff games. We have to do the playoff games...
Next week.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Give me... I'm taking Penn State over Clemson.
Oh. In the Pinstripe Bowl.
Pinstripe Bowl. It's 3 points. 3-point spread.
Well, the commissioner has done a bad job because I thought that that you would have the playoff games. I told you you'd have the playoff games, and I was mistaken.
Yes, but don't worry about it, Willie. I'll blame it on you if I lose.
Why can I not like the Pinstripe Bowl? Okay, here we go. So Penn State in the Pinstripe Bowl. Where is it?
Right, the Pinstripe Bowl. Clemson is a 3-point favorite.
Yes.
At Yankee Stadium on December 27th.
Exactly. There you go. That's all you need to know, Willie. 3 points.
Penn State Clemson at Yankee Stadium. Hal Gill's favorite place, Yankee Stadium, being a Red Sox fan. All right, that brings us to Hal Gill. So D-May's going for the layup, 3 points, and trying to just inch ahead. That's interesting strategy as we move down the stretch. Now, let's get to Hal Gill and get his pick for Week 17.
All right, boys. Okay, all right. Derek, I have to say I'm – D-Mace, like, come strong with a pick. I know you're in the lead and you're just kind of – you're just trying to ride it out, but, like, come strong with it. You're wishy-washy. You don't know what's going on. You're not paying attention. And I'm dialed in. Even though it is an off day, I'm dialed in. Because of the FanDuel F-off, I am stuck here with ESPN announcer AJ Molesko. We're having a pint, and so you guys better appreciate how much I love you guys because I'm taking time out of our day to pick the Nebraska the Huskers. You know, the N stands for knowledge, right?
That's right.
I'm going to go with them over the Utes, the two Utes. I'm going to take Nebraska over the Utes.
There we
go. I think we need
to take an appreciation.
That's like
moment
a 10-pointer. That's a 10-pointer, I think.
Appreciation moment for Hal Gill for taking the time to make this pick because this is the only game, only night that we're not playing. They had games Saturday, Sunday.
Commissioner, we do have an issue.
Today.
We do have an issue.
Oh.
Yes.
That
so
game.
Hal, I hate to tell you this.
That game is on December 31st.
Next week's windows.
Yeah, yes.
That falls into next week's window.
And he talking about I wasn't paying attention.
That wasn't the second round. I thought we were going to the second round first.
But the bowl game is played in the window of next week. That's a New Year's Eve day game, Nebraska and Utah. So you can pick that next week if you like.
That doesn't help me right now, Willie.
Hey, pick Ohio over UNLV.
No. No, don't do it.
Do it, Hal. Do it.
Can you come back to me?
No.
Hey, Hal, once you come off the pick.
You don't want to forfeit your turn.
Yes, you got to forfeit. It happened in the draft, in the NFL draft. A team didn't pick. The other team went and drafted the guy.
The clock ran out.
Exactly. Clock ran out. So either you pick now, Hal. I'm giving you.
I'm
filibustering, Hal. I'm filibustering here, okay? I'm trying to get you so you can try to pick your team. I'm trying to continue to talk, Hal. Hurry up. Pick your team, please.
I got TCU taking over USC. How about that? Can you guys let that go?
If it's within a window.
Let that go. I'm not sure that's in the required window.
It's not.
It's Hal.
It's on Tuesday.
You're looking at week 19. You're looking at bowls 18.
Oh, my goodness, Hal. Hey, Hal, here's one. North Texas and San Diego State. Take San Diego State. It's a 3-point spread.
Then, I don't need 3 points.
Then he's just doing what you're
doing.
He needs more than three.
Oh, okay.
More than three.
All right, well, Pittsburgh at East Carolina. Pittsburgh is a 10-point spread. 10-point favorite. There you go. You need 10 points, Al.
Central Michigan. Oh, my God.
Okay, now we're talking.
All right, that counts.
That counts.
They're going to throw a beat down on Northwestern. That's the one I wanted all along anyway.
Yes, it just took you a little ways to get there, Hal, but that is the game I know you were locked in on all week. It's very clear.
I have a local hazy IPA that's calling my name, so I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Love you, Hal. Thank you.
Love you.
Hal.
Hey, Hal.
Yes.
Mason, all you other, I hope you all lose.
Hey, Hal. The key word that you just said in that whole description of your drink is haze. You were a little bit in the haze there. So get it together. Tell AJ to get you straight, okay? We've got a game to call tomorrow night.
Man.
Hey, it's the season, boys. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. And happy Kwanzaa. Cheers, boys.
Thank you, Hal.
Okay, so Hal takes the Chippewas, Central Michigan.
Third time's
out
the charm.
The back, and they are a 10.5-point dog. It'd be funny if he wins this game. And they are taking on the Wildcats of Northwestern. Okay, and this bowl game is called the Game Above Sports Bowl at Ford Field in Detroit. So, you know, the weather conditions will be pristine, shall we say.
Exactly.
It'll
be excellent.
Of Detroit. All right, now we get to the big drama. Now we get to the big drama. Adam is within striking distance here. He has the third pick as he tries to close in on Derek Mason.
All right, since we wasted so much time with Hal Gill's pick, I'm surprised he didn't make this selection. Willie, you said the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium, Hal Gill's favorite place as a Red Sox fan. Of course, you were being tongue-in-cheek. I'm actually going to pick a bowl game that is being played at Hal Gill's favorite place, Fenway Park. Give me UConn over Army in the Fenway Bowl.
Oh, my gosh, you stink, man.
I looked at that game. Army going to run through them.
You know what? We were looking at this earlier this week, and my reaction when you threw this game out there, Adam, to me was, UConn's in a bowl game? That was my reaction.
Well,
UConn is an 8.5-point underdog against the Black Knights of the Hudson. Army is an 8.5-point favorite in this game. So UConn taking on Army at Fenway Park. Of course, I'm sure all of the UConn fans will fill the stadium there at Fenway. I'm really curious what the crowd looks like in that one. That game's being played Saturday at 2:15. So UConn is the pick against Army. Now, doing the math, if Adam wins and D-Mace loses, Adam takes the lead. Mm-hmm. If they both win, we've got a really tight race going into the final week. It is going to be very close. D-Mace would hold a very slight lead if he wins. So keep an eye on that. And now we have the wild card. Chris Sanders, what has he got up his sleeve? There's not that many games to pick that usually fit his taste when he goes for the long bomb. So let's see what he's got.
That's cold, man.
Cold-blooded.
That's cold, man. Hey,
that threw him off.
I'm still. It did. So, can I pick Nebraska over?
No, you cannot. Again? We've already established that.
We've gone over this.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Here we go. Let me look. Hold on. Okay, here we go. I got it right here, Big Dow. I'm gonna go ECU over Pitt. Let's go.
Okay,
where you going?
That is a legal pick.
I'm going to Wendy's.
Okay.
The Pirates of East Carolina are a 9.5-point dog as they take on the Pittsburgh Panthers, who, of course, you know, Pittsburgh being this great team, that it was a quality win for Notre Dame, it was a quality win for Miami when they beat Pittsburgh, and here they are in the Military Bowl, in the Marine Corps Memorial Stadium in Annapolis, Maryland, taking on East Carolina. So I really am rooting for you in this one.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, and you need the points, quite honestly. We need you to get back.
You know, see, I'm going to hang up on you for that right there. That's cool. I'm going to hang up on you.
But I want to show the committee just how weak Pittsburgh is, and I want them to go down against East Carolina. So, by the way, let's quickly congratulate Dr. Locke, who was the people's representative last week. He selected Miami with the people's pick. And, of course, they pulled it out against Texas A&M in one of the strangest playoff games, kind of ugly playoff games, the wind and everything. That was a weird game, but he got it done. So, Dr. Locke, you win for the people. Now let's recap the picks for Week 17. Two picks left in the competition. Derek Mason with the lead and the ball and the first pick selects Penn State, just a three-point underdog in the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium, played next Saturday at 12 o'clock as they take on the Clemson Tigers. Interesting strategy by D-Mace, trying to throw short of the chains and just try to take a little bit more of a cushion. Hal Gill, a little disheveled, a little overworked, going with the hazy IPA, keyword being haze. He stumbled around. He picked two ineligible games that won't be on the docket until next week. Hopefully he wrote those down, so he's got those in his pocket next week. But he's finally settled on Central Michigan. They are a 10.5-point dog against Northwestern at Ford Field in Detroit. Then Adam Vingan, moving up the ranks, trying to go from worst to first. He selects UConn, an 8.5-point dog in Annapolis, Maryland, as they take on Army. So Army in Navy territory, playing the bowl game against UConn. Actually, that game is at Fenway Park, I should say. That's the Fenway Bowl. So we got a Yankee Stadium Bowl and a Fenway Bowl. And then finally, Chris Sanders. He had the fourth pick. He had to take what was there. And so he goes with East Carolina, a 9.5-point dog against Pittsburgh. And he will hope that the Pirates will knock out the Panthers and Chris can move up out of last place. So those are the picks for Week 17. Gentlemen, have a great Christmas. And, of course, good luck.
Merry Christmas to all y'all. And I hope Santa comes down and steal y'all games. Leave y'all with big L's underneath the tree for y'all games.
All right, Grinch.
And I know Santa first by on first name basis. I got a cell number. So y'all will be getting the L's underneath the Christmas tree.
You'll be hearing from me if UConn pulls this off. Just saying. You'll be hearing from me. And Chris is also here. We love you, Chris.
Hey.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, wow. Oh, see.
Merry Christmas, Christopher.
Hey, love y'all too, man. Pleasure working with y'all.
Later.
All right, 615-737-1025. The first caller will represent the people. 615-737-1025. If you represent the people and win, we had a winner last week. If you represent the people and win, you will win a pair of tickets to see Matt Rife at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, October 24th. 2026. Keep in mind, so you're not stumbling around like Hal Gill, you have to pick a bowl game between now and next Monday, December 29th. All other bowl games are ineligible. 615-737-1025. We'll get the people's pick, and we'll revisit the Titans' win against the Chiefs. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. You can't keep us separated. Hear that? See what I did there?
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Let's get our people's pick. Let's go to our phone line and bring in Ricky. Ricky, welcome to the competition. Your selection, please.
I'm going with LSU over Houston.
LSU over Houston. Let's stay on the line. Let's make sure that this game is actually happening when it's supposed to. No disrespect to you, Ricky, but Hal Gill wasn't prepared. So let's make sure.
Neither was D-Mace.
Neither.
Yeah, I wasn't.
He made sure he got that in there.
Burn. LSU, that LSU does count. Thank you, Ricky. Good luck.
Hey, I was better prepared than Hal was. Hal went through 8 rounds trying to pick a team.
he went through the whole docket twice,
exactly.
I think, before.
Yes.
He got one that he could take. LSU is a 2.5-point dog against Houston in the Texas Bowl. So they're actually playing in Houston. So LSU, an underdog in that game. Interesting matchup. LSU unranked against the Houston Cougars.
And good luck to you, Ricky. If you win, you'll win a pair of tickets to see Matt Rife's Stay Golden World Tour at Bridgestone Arena next October 24th. Let's revisit the Titans' 26-9 win against the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday at Nissan Stadium. The streak is over. The Titans have won a home game for the first time since November 3rd of last year. 11 consecutive losses at home. No more. Cam Ward, his best performance of the season, 21 for 28, 228 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, a season-best 122.3 quarterback rating. Willie, since you weren't on to share your thoughts on Cam Ward's performance and the Titans' performance yesterday, why don't you give us those thoughts? How do you think the team and Cam Ward performed yesterday?
Well, you know, as we talked about, what we suspected happened, happened. You had a Chiefs team that was really down, depleted. And, like, I think the best time to play a team is the week after, and I think this goes in college as well, the week after you're out of it, that next week is a really tough game to get up for. And then on top of that, Minshew gets hurt. So it's like you almost couldn't not win. As great as the Chiefs have been over the years, that looked like a preseason game in a lot of ways. And I feel happy for the fans that went there. My son and his two buddies, they've been to a bunch of Titans games, and they gathered at our house on the east side before they went over there. And I said, guys, when's the last time you saw a Titan victory at home? They're going back. A couple of them were at the Patriots game last year. Mahoney hadn't been to a home victory in a couple years. He goes to a lot of games, but I admire their diehard willingness to go to the game. Then they went to the Predators game after that, so they were hardcore. But all that being said, I think it was exactly what we hoped it would be. If you're going to win, let's at least have it be a game that Cam Ward comes out of there with good numbers and a little more confidence. Regardless of who was out there, it's an NFL game. It goes on his stats. He gets a win. I like that. And I was a little worried about that, guys, when it was 3-2 midway through the second quarter. I was like, oh, man, they're gonna win this game 6-3 or 5-3, and everybody's going to be mad that they won. But at least as the game went on, he got better and better, and I thought he looked like he showed some signs of growth.
I will say I was rooting for the Scorigami. I was rooting for the Scorigami.
How can you not?
When it was 2-0. When it was 2-0, the last time an NFL game ended 2-0 was 1938. And I said, we need this. And then the Chiefs scored to make it 3-2. And then I went to Scorigami. And the last time an NFL game ended 3-2 was 1926. I was like, we need this. And there was actually one opportunity, if I am not mistaken, in this game for a Scorigami. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Titans at one point led the game 18-9, if I am not mistaken. That would have been a Scorigami. There has never been a game that ended. Oh, I'm sorry. It was 16-9. I was hoping it would be 18-9 or 19-9. I don't know. Either way, I was really hoping for a Scorigami or a score that hasn't happened in nearly 100 years. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But, Willie, what Derek and I said at the beginning of the show is Cam Ward has shown some pretty, I don't know if significant may be an exaggeration, but he has shown some notable signs of growth since the team returned from its bye week. He's completing nearly 64% of his passes since the bye. He has thrown 8 touchdowns to 1 interception. He has cut down the sacks per game by 2 whole sacks. Now, some of that has to do with the offensive line, but he has done a better job, I think, of evading sacks. So the sacks have been cut down significantly. He's not throwing for as many yards. When he throws the ball, the ball isn't going as far as it did before the bye. But when you put it all together, I think you can say with cautious optimism that Cam Ward has shown some signs that he can do this at the NFL level.
Yeah, and look, it's all going to be about what it looks like next year. But these are building blocks. These stats count. And I think just for his overall wellness and confidence, I think this was a beneficial game. He had, I think it's noteworthy for our ticket to the bank that he ended up with 9 yards rushing as D-Mace was going for 10. But his QBR, I keep an eye on the QBR each week because he's got the lowest QBR. It was 34.5, which isn't any great shakes. The passer rating was really good, 122.3. And these aren't end-all, be-all numbers, right? The eye test, He made some really good throws.
Why do you think the QBR was so low?
About those. You know, honestly, I'm not quite sure.
I was surprised when I saw that number,
by
the way.
Yeah, that's lower than I would have thought. I would have thought at least in the 50s. But it is what it is. He doesn't run much. You know, QBR, if you run for yards, that helps your QBR. It's when you make the plays. And I thought, you know, I thought that should grade out pretty well. His efficiency was pretty good. I do think, as you mentioned, the completion percentage has gone up. Part of the reason is, and D-Maze, you can weigh in on this, they clearly are getting the ball out quicker, right? There were some plays where he's catching it and throwing a little sidearm like he's turning a double play in baseball. He's throwing it right away to the tight end. So that's helping the completion percentage. It's a, you know, but he had some strikes down the field that were noteworthy. Nothing big, right? But he got some big plays. He threw some good ones down the field. He had some good run after the catch, right? Tajay Spears has a nice run after the catch. It's a really easy throw, but that, you know, that helps your yards per attempt. These are all the things you're trying to build when you're putting together a winning profile as a quarterback. But I think he's growing with the offense, and they're learning how to get the numbers a little bit better, especially with limited resources around him. They're also, by the way, again, running the ball well. Tony Pollard, another good game.
By the way, it was his quickest time to throw of the season, roughly 2.4 seconds time to throw. So all in all, and I did say this, Willie, and I didn't hear from a lot of them, so maybe we can hear from them before the show ends. I want to hear from some of the Cam Ward skeptics today. I'm not expecting you to call us or text us 615-737-1025 and say, oh, I couldn't have been more wrong about Cam Ward. I'm not expecting that. But I want to hear from the skeptics because the numbers have been so much better since the bye week. Are they popping off the page? No. Completing 63.9% of your passes is nothing to necessarily write home about. But it's a lot better than it was before the bye. So maybe in this final segment, we'll hear from some of those Cam Ward skeptics. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, wrapping up the show. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dr. Locke. First of all, Dr. Locke, congratulations on successfully picking on behalf of the people last time around. I hope you enjoy. I believe you won Trevor Noah tickets. I hope you enjoy that.
Absolutely. Thank you, fellas. Thank you. I do want to, before I touch about, and I'll weigh in on Cam Ward, but before I do, how you doing, D-Maze?
Hey, I'm doing well, Doc.
If I remember correctly, Dr. Locke always has a good memory. D-Maze, your pick to win it all on that radio station was Texas A&M. And just to kind of recap, there's been a lot throughout the season, a lot of different people, not going to put them out there, but a lot of people said, if you take any of these two lost SEC teams and you put them in another conference, the ACC or the Big 12, they'd be undefeated. I think we need to retire that narrative. I didn't escape that game. I mean, Miami ran for 160, 170 yards. That running back's still running right up the middle on A&M. And they missed three chip shot field goals. That game was a lot easier. That was a rocket share game. That game was a lot easier of a game than the score dictates. If that field goal kicker makes any of those chip shots, it's not even close.
Yeah, Texas A&M, well, for whatever reason, that didn't show up. But it was a good defensive game.
Oh, okay. So now we're going to denounce A&M.
I'm not doubting Miami or A&M. Miami was the better team. This weekend.
And on Cam Ward, you know, there's an old saying that when the tide rises, all the ship goes up. So the Titans have been playing complimentary football, and the offensive line is vastly ahead. The last three games have made big, big strides. So conversely, you know, when you have time to throw the ball and your running game's working, the passing game's working. I mean, that's no you know, major thing of why he's throwing the ball. But if you look at his balls past 20 yards downfield, he still throws an atrocious long ball. I mean, that's just – it is what it is. But one more question before I jump off, and I want to hear the answer to it. So if Indiana, right, if Indiana beats Alabama, if Oregon beats A&M, if the Ohio State, please, D for a dynasty, if the Ohio State beats Miami and then beats Georgia – and there's not an – you guys got, what, 6, 7, 9 teams in, whatever. But if you don't even get a team in the championship for a second year in a row and the Big Ten wins a third national championship, can I please, for the love of God, have y'all admit that the Big Ten is a better conference? I mean,
hey,
I just need to hear it.
Thank you for the call, Dr. Locke.
And we love when Dr. Locke calls.
Yeah, I think that's
congratulations.
The SEC
yeah,
snob.
Congratulations to him winning. But Dr. Locke, I am a Michigan State grad. I'm a Big Ten guy.
He knows that.
Hey, if all Big Ten was in, hey, I don't mind not one bit as long as Michigan's not in. Okay.
Well, you don't have to worry about
exactly.
that right now.
But I don't mind one bit if it's a all Big Ten. Sort of playoff
national championship.
Yep. So I'm with it. I think he was talking to you, Willie.
Yes, he was talking to you.
he was. He was talking to the SEC snob, the self-proclaimed SEC snob. And I admit, I was disappointed in Texas A&M. I really thought they had it there for the taking, and they just never could get the consistency. It was a windy day. If people watched the game, the wind was swirling all over the place, which made it hard to throw and hard to kick, of course, as we saw. But he's absolutely right. Miami had more opportunities to score. There was a lot of times where a team would move the ball and then somehow find a way to not score by missing a field goal or sacking or something like that. But Miami up front was impressive. And I did say this about Texas A&M during the season. They did get a little easier week-in, week-out schedule within the league. And when you have a million teams in your league, and this is true in the Big Ten as well, a lot of years you get a little lucky, and your strength of schedule is a little bit easier than some of the teams in your same league, which is what's messed up about having leagues this big. It's really not a true way to evaluate a conference. And I do think that showed up for Texas A&M. And then for them, they had that bad game late. They hadn't played since that game against Texas. And I think there was a carryover, right? Marcel Reed, I mean, I think he has been a fantastic story. Mm-hmm. You know, right out of Nashville, he had a great year. But he did tail off a little bit at the end of the year. And, yes, on Saturday, he just was not sharp, right? There were some plays there for him that he just was a little bit off with the wind and everything like that. It was just not a great day for him to not be sharp. And as it was, you know, they were inches away. Did you guys think, by the way, the play before they throw the interception and the guy got smoked right at the goal line, was that targeting? The defensive player got hurt. So immediately everybody runs out there and looks on the defensive player. But I feel like that looked a little like targeting. I've seen stuff like that be called. Maybe I'm wrong. It looked like there was some helmet-to-helmet defenseless receiver. Can you imagine calling that in that situation?
And that's why they probably didn't call it.
Probably so.
You know.
Scott and Waverly on our text line says, I was honestly more impressed with the guys catching the ball more than I was Cam. A couple of those rookies look pretty good. And to me, Cam has gotten better the last 3 weeks. It kind of makes me wonder if we should keep this coach. He's steadily getting the team better. That's what we need. Again, Willie, you weren't on for this portion, but I said that the Titans keeping Mike McCoy would be the equivalent of me taking a whoopee cushion and just playing it on the air, just right into the microphone. That you all know the sound. That's what the sound would be if the Titans hired Mike McCoy. I don't think that's going to happen, but
yeah. I don't think so either.
But Cam,
beat Cleveland, and they beat Kansas City, and like I said, did that not feel a little bit like a preseason game? You're watching the Chiefs, but guys in the uniforms are not really the Chiefs.
Even Travis Kelce was out there, and I'm just like, that's Travis Kelce? Now I know it was a third string quarterback at quarterback because Gardner Minshew also tore his ACL.
But they beat him. But they beat them.
I hear you.
Right.
That they were better than.
It's a win.
And the Titans had their injuries, too. They got, and like Adam and I talked about earlier, you know, Harris went down. Harris Jr., he went down. So another guy that they got to potentially play with without in the secondary moving forward. And I know they only got two games left, but this team is depleted in not just talent, but even the guys that were out there trying to give what they could. Now they're hurt. So kudos to the Titans. Again, I get it. Kansas City didn't have their marquee guys. They didn't have about three guys on defense. And I know they didn't have Patrick, which is the most important thing. But the Titans didn't have guys that they were counting on and their bad team. They went out there and they kept playing inspired football. And they beat a team that they were better than. That's how I look at it.
Quickly,
right.
and go ahead.
They have had a very tough schedule. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the season, tougher than most, right? Strength of schedule should be noted, which is part of the reason their record is what it is. But I think Dr. Locke made a good point that we should emphasize. Mm-hmm. The offensive line is playing better. And
oh, yeah,
Tony Pollard all of a sudden is putting together numbers that is going to get him paid. If he doesn't stay with the Titans next year and he is cut and goes to the free agency, he's going to have well over 1,000 yards if he plays these last two games. And if he was running... If he gets anything close to what he's in the last 3 weeks, he's going to have well over 1,100. And I don't know what to make of that. You know, like, is it all the offensive line? What's going on with the running game? Because, as he said, that helps support Cam Ward.
I think I just believe once they not that they changed the offense, but I think they modified it, and they really worked towards some of Cam Ward's strengths, meaning the short game, quick game, getting him in rhythm. I think now they've incorporated that with their run game, and it looks more like it should look, where the run game complements the passing game. When I say complement, I don't mean numbers. I mean they look the same. We're running the same plays. You don't know if it's run or pass or screen. They're starting to do that more where they're not tipping things off. They're not deliberate with things. In their play calling. So I think that is what has made the offensive line and Cam Ward a lot better than what they were at the beginning of the season. And that's the running game is now prospering from that.
Quickly, before we go, earlier today at Bridgestone, at Bridgestone Arena, Nick Saban, new minority owner of the Nashville Predators, held a news conference. Governor Bill Haslam, of course, chairman of the Predators, was seated beside him. It was a cool thing to see.
How many times did he say I?
I don't think I heard many, actually.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't keeping track, but I didn't hear very many I's. I'd have to go back and look at the transcript. But and he acknowledged it. He goes, I'm no expert in hockey. I'm not going to make some huge impact coaching around here, but I do know what it takes to have a successful organization. But to see Nick Saban out there, it's the first time I've ever seen Nick Saban up close and personal. Mm-hmm. Wearing a Predators pullover, Willie. It was a cool sight to see.
Yeah, and I didn't get to see the whole thing. I had a chance to talk to Andrew Brunette yesterday back in the summer, and I guess all of this was brewing at the time and nobody knew it, but he had a good long conversation with Nick Saban. And when I say the summer, I think it was just, you know, sort of prior to training camp, or I don't remember if it was then or even before that when they had the summer rookie camp after the draft. It was one of those two times. I'm not sure which one. But he was very impressed. You know how Andrew Brunette loves to study other sports, mm-hmm. and figure out what translates. You know, what little tidbits can he pick up, what's working in other sports. So that's making him tick. He enjoyed, like, researching Nick Saban and then having a good coach-to-coach conversation. There's just a lot of layers to the benefits of Nick Saban there. I'll give you another one. Friday night, he gets booed off the stage in Norman, Oklahoma. But while he's doing that, he's been introduced on College Game Day. The guy that owns the Nashville Predators, you know, Kirk Herbstreit, and now all of a sudden I'm blanking on his name, the punter, Pat McAfee, is saying, hey, thanks for buying the Predators. You can't put a price on that marketing. That's a huge – how many times do hockey teams get mentioned on College Game Day? So there's a lot of good layers to this that just simply have Nick Saban's name associated is going to help. But I think he's going to help in a lot of other ways as well.
That'll do it for us today. We'll be back at 3 o'clock tomorrow, our final show before the holiday. We hope that you'll join us once again. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Monday. I love you. The team love you. You hear that song. Don't you forget about us, because we will never forget about you. See you tomorrow, 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Peace.